think there's lots of bits of paper. Okay, the reading is from John 16, verses 12 to 15, and I'm actually going to read it from the Message version just because I think it's a little bit easier to understand. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honour me, he will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. This is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you. Father God, as we come to listen now to hear what you have to say to us, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that you would still our busy minds, and that you would speak to us and guide and lead us in these words and in the discussion afterwards. Amen. So we're continuing practicing the way, be more like Jesus. And I was thinking about the reading and about the Holy Spirit coming. And if I asked you all to get out your phones now or your best writing paper and said to you, write a letter or a message to Jesus and invite him to come and sit among us, what would your response be? And many of you would say, but he's already here. And he is, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes if I'm feeling really agitated, I try to imagine that Jesus is sitting in the chair next to me. And actually, would I be so agitated if I remembered that Jesus was here now and tried to be more like him? There's many different ways of being more like Jesus, and you probably all have your own ways. But for me, I ask each morning to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I pray that God will make me more into the person that he created me to be. And I also pray, and I have prayed for years, nothing to do with this, that I will live a life worthy of my calling. So those things are very important to me each morning. And more recently, I've been praying for God to help me see others as he sees them. Because I think we can just forget that everybody, including the homeless person begging for money and the person walking around drunk, they're all created in the image of God, and God's love is so overwhelming for them. So I pray for the Holy Spirit, and David Pawson, a scholar, says the Holy Spirit opens the mind and he teaches and brings us into all truth. He opens our eyes to see his glory. So I just think the most important thing we can do at the start of the day is to connect with God. And that doesn't mean it should be just that once, like it's a boost for 24 hours. So we need to pray each morning. And then John Mark Comer says, God is love. Love is who God is inside his deepest self. And then he quotes someone else saying, we are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. We can get so preoccupied with whole series on Netflix or social media or just being busy because we like being busy. But we need to remind ourselves that we are here for God's glory, and we need to give all our time to God. And are we using it as God would want us to use it? John Mark also shares that he keeps a skull on his desk to remind him that each day might be his last day and to live it for God. And he shares about how monks used to keep, when they prayed, a scripture, a candle, and a skull to remind them that this might be their last day and that death is inevitable. Can I have the apprenticeship slide? Thank you. So we all know that you can get jobs as an apprentice and you learn new skills, you learn to become more like someone else. So for us, are we apprentices of Jesus? And if not, what are we apprentices of? Because whatever we're doing will shape us. When I first went to look round a theological college, they talked about spiritual formation, and I'd never heard of that word. And I pray for God to mould me and change me, but I've discovered that actually formation doesn't have to be spiritual. It's whatever you are being formed into. So are we being formed into the likeness of Christ? Formation can be good or bad. So do we have love and joy and peace coming out of us, or do people outside of here see us as irritable, as manipulative, or angry? Have the next one, please. So, John Mark talks about three losing strategies, which is, I find quite interesting. So one is willpower. And you know, at the beginning of a new year, we all make resolutions, and how often do they last? Because we cannot do things just through our own willpower. We have to be, so to become more loving, we have to be transformed from within, from our true self or our heart. We can't just will ourselves to be more loving. And then more Bible study. Sometimes you hear that if you read the Bible more, you will become more like Jesus. Well, that's only true if you act on it. We're not, as John Mark puts it, a brain on legs. Knowing is not the same as doing. So actually, what we're reading in the Bible, we need to pray about and we need to act on. And he describes it as fear, or like if you suffer from a fear and you know it's totally irrational, but it can really dominate you. And I used to be absolutely terrified of dogs. And I'm still not great, but as a child, I would just run away. And then even when I was 20, I worked in a care home through an agency, and I went to a new care home, and I rang the doorbell, and they opened the door, and this dog ran out, and I ran down the path and up the road. I really was scared. I did go back, and they did keep the dog away from me, and I didn't go back to that one again. But it's that fear that can actually grip you. But how can you get what you deeply desire into your central nervous system? It's all very well knowing that you want to be more like Jesus, but actually it's that transformation. And the other thing he talks about is the zap from heaven. Some Christians think they're more like a computer program that just needs a download, and they seek the next big festival. And there's nothing wrong with big festivals, but it's what you do between times as well. Church and Bible are essential, but they alone don't transform us. And John Mark calls it bypass discipleship, when you're just seeking the next big thing rather than living day by day. Jesus kept teaching, rebuking, and loving. He gave his disciples time to mature and time to grow. He didn't expect it in an instant. Official Can I have the next one? Thank you. So official research shows that there's a cycle for Christians, but quite often, most Christians don't get past stage three. And that's because they do want to change, but they don't know how to change. And they try, but they just can't quite do it because they're trying to do it on their own. And they don't understand the process from spiritual birth to spiritual maturity. Sometimes I like the to compare Christian life with a tree, and how trees start off as these tiny little saplings, but they can only grow if they have roots, and they can only grow if those roots are well nourished. If it's too dry, the tree will just die. And I was talking about this to someone in the congregation, and they said, but what about weeds? Sometimes weeds have really long roots. So that got me and Henny talking and reflecting. And actually, where are our roots? Because if our roots are in the church, but not in God, then we won't grow as a Christian. We need to be rooted in God, rooted in the forgiveness that Jesus gives us, and worshiping with each other in community. So on your tables, I thought you could discuss this. So are you in this cycle? And actually, if you're not, come and talk to me or Henny or someone and just be open about that. And so where are you in this? And how do you think you can move on to the next level?